The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It is a numbers game. It's Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody. How you doing?
What up? What up? How we doing?
What up? We're doing great. You know why? Because whatever else we're doing on the show today, and by the way, we do have Steve Fezzik on. We're going to talk UFC 317 with Jordan Sherwood. More Are We Sure? Got to look at the Wimbledon draw that just happened. All of that. None of it compares to a giveaway, baby.
That's right.
WinnersCircleProxy.com. Circa giveaway coming up in about, let's call it a half hour. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor. Kelly and I, my assistant Kelly Bidlin and I, it's like we're doing a magician reveal here or something. Kelly's going to take a name out of a hat. We have the hat ready to go.
We have the hat ready. We have 10 names. Danny is double checking that I did count 10 names correctly.
We had thousands of entries to this.
Thousands, yes.
We randomized and got 10 finalists. We don't know who they are. Kelly's going to put his grubby paw into the hat. We're going to pull out a millions winner. Then I'm going to put mine into it. We're going to get a survivor entry, both free. One millions, one entry, free, courtesy of Winner's Circle Proxy and VSiN. Very exciting. What kind of hat is
great.
It? Is it a top hat?
Yeah, it's the VSiN top hat that I don't really know what the first original purpose was for. I know the sports gambling podcast guys use it. It's a regular prop here at VSiN.
Very exciting. Very exciting for this.
I wore it for an entire segment one day when you were out. I don't remember why, but...
Always when I'm out, Kelly. Yeah. Always when I'm out. Paul Carr on soccer as well coming up. We'll do that, too. Can I react to Wimbledon first? Can we do this? This happened overnight.
Sure.
Overnight, at Wimbledon, what they did up until about, 2021, is they had their own method of picking seedings at Wimbledon. They would do it based on grass court performance weighted into general performance. But since 2021, Wimbledon just said, you know what, we'll just do it via the world rankings. And so that's what they do. But then they randomize into the draw, and here's what has come up. Now, Drew Dinsick, Zach Cohen, and I are going to do the Wimbledon preview podcast post-draw now, right after this show. But my preliminary thoughts here is I look at the men's side. And I do see quarters already on the men's side. So this is happening in real time. I don't see quarter prices for the women's side yet. But on the men's side, which is obviously, again, heavily weighted, it's Carlos Alcaraz, it's Yannick Sinner, and it's kind of everybody else. Though Zach really doesn't put Novak in the everybody else. He gives Novak a real puncher's chance here, if not more. But
he's probably only going to like him better today. That was plus 550 yesterday.
No. And the reason he doesn't like him better today, or shouldn't. Why? What were you saying?
The number's gotten longer, but you're about to tell me there's a good reason why.
Well, there's a reason why. Because he's in quarter two, Novak Djokovic, 24 Grand Slams, looking for his 25th. Djokovic is in the same quarter with Jack Draper, Alexander Bublik, and Alexander Dimonor. Now, I, seeing the quarter, was like, oh, boy, I can't wait to see what the price is on Bublik in this quarter. Well, guess what? I am not as clever as I think I am. Djokovic plus 170 in quarter two, Draper plus 215, Bublik plus 225, I believe that is. Plus 275 on both Draper and Bublik.
What were you hoping for, like a 5-1 or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, they're all over it. Bublik won a tournament. He beat Sinner a couple weeks ago. But you figure, they can't take that seriously. It's Alexander Bublik, my God. So that's not really good. Now, Dimonor was the fourth of the four. He's longer than them. He's 14-1. Some value, but I was really hoping for the price on Bublik, and I'm not getting it.
So we've talked enough Novak this week. I think we're okay. That price is where it's at. I guess the one that I keep coming back to, Gil. Draper, 18-1. Is there that big of a difference between Draper and the rest of the guys down? I understand he's going to be the top guy in his own quarter, right? But is there that big a separation between a player like Draper and a Sasha Zverev, a Medvedev?
Well, he's not the top player in his quarter per the price. Djokovic is, right? Followed by Draper, both in Q2. But to answer your question, this is the issue with grass court tennis. So you asked me a question like that, right? Grass court tennis is 4 weeks a year. And so the data, right, how I do hard courts and clay and how that manifests over the course of a season, two seasons. I do full year, I do 6 month, and I can rely on the data. Not so much hard court this year, but generally speaking, every year on both those services. Grass is more of a, it's more of a knack. I can't remember if I what I say on air or off air anymore, so I'll just tell this again, which is my ex-father-in-law used to play in the NFL, used to say about punt returning. He used to say punt returning is just a knack. It's almost like it's the instinct kicks in, and the punt returner understands in his brain a quick calculation of the coverage is coming in at this velocity, here's where the guys are, and I know my speed, and here's the route I need to take, and here's the timing of it. That's kind of grass court tennis. It's like you can just pick up a knack for it. So the data is not quite as reliable, but what we do know is Alcaraz and Sinner are the best of the bunch. I'll give you just the data if you're interested from a two-year, one-year standpoint as opposed to 6 months, because there's nothing 6 months. But it's Alcaraz, Sinner, Djokovic, Fritz, Zverev, Draper, in that order.
Okay.
So 18 to 1 actually does represent a pretty good price, because to answer your question, there's not that big of a difference.
Okay.
Between him and Djokovic. And if you get to the quarters, the problem is then you get either a Sinner or Sinner first and then Alcaraz after that. So those are the two big monsters at the end of this. But I will say about Sinner, I don't know that he's infallible after seeing him a couple weeks ago. And Tommy Paul to win that quarter is 10 to 1. If you are in any way feeling like Sinner has some vulnerability here, and remember, he's never won Wimbledon. This is Alcaraz's tournament the last 2 years. Maybe Tommy Paul at 10 to 1 in Q1 is worth a flyer. I know that's blasphemy to go against Sinner. By the way, Grigor Dimitrov would be, in terms of raw data, 2 years, 1 year's grass.
Grigor.
Your boy Grigor. He would actually be the best, but he's always constantly injured here recently, and you just never know with his performance. Plus, he's got a new girlfriend. I don't know if you saw this, the beautiful actress, Asa Gonzalez. Oh, you should take a look, Kelly. Let me point that out. Grigor has always been linked with celebrities. Serena Williams, Maria Sharapova, Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls. I didn't know we were going to do a Grigor Dimitrov girlfriend history, but here we are.
He's dating this girl?
That's correct.
Was it Eliza Gonzalez? Eliza Gonzalez? She's like a big-time actress.
Asa, yeah.
Asa? That's how you say it?
I don't think there's an L in there.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so to answer your question, yes, Draper at 18 to 1 is pretty interesting, but you have to come into it thinking Sinner and Alcaraz are vulnerable. I would say Sinner might be. Alcaraz, to me, is not. So to me, Tommy Paul 10 to 1 in that quarter is kind of interesting in Q1. Anyway, that's my reaction to the quarter numbers that just came out on the men's side. By the way, Q3 is the Fritz Zverev, the Taylor Fritz Sasha Zverev quarter. I think they're the two-headed monster in Q3, and they're priced that way. So there's no play there. And then in Q4, that's Alcaraz's, so forget about that. He's cruising to the semifinals. Women's side, we have the outrights. We don't have the quarters, hopefully, later in the show, but certainly by the podcast today, we'll have ladies' quarters. Right now, can I just say this? This is getting back to what I said about punt returns and a knack here. With the men, at least you can identify guys who are the elite players versus non. Here, I'm just going to tell you this right now, Kelly. There's never been a more wide-open slam side than this one. And Sabalenka, by the way, who's the short shot, she does not have good grass numbers traditionally. She really doesn't. She should not be that big of a favorite here. Rybakina, who's the second shot at 6 to 1, is the player that has the best traditional grass numbers over time. If that's an indication, again, grass numbers being a little more janky, if I could use that technical term. But Rybakina, again, I had her against Sabalenka 2 weeks ago. She's up 6-2 in the third set tiebreaker, and she gacks it. So that's the art of this.
Right. So when I see a golf tournament where I think it's pretty wide open and I see an odds board like this where I think there's some flawed favorites it for me, if I'm going into the tournament with outrights, I'm looking further down the board heading into the tournament. Otherwise, I'm waiting till we get into the tournament to make an outright play. Is that a similar approach for you?
Absolutely, 100%. By the way, let me just say this. There is, in this board that we flashed up here for the Wimbledon's outrights, one of these players is not even seated, if we flash it up again, right?
Oh, wow.
and that player is Nisibola? Right in the middle. Your girl, Marketa Vondrousova. The top.
How dare they?
She's not even seeded, right? She just won a grass court tournament 2 weeks ago. Or was it last week already? I'm getting my weeks messed up. Last week she won a grass court tournament. Remember, she won Wimbledon 2 years ago with only having won two matches career on grass before that, which gets back to my point. Like,
I forgot this about is you more, freaking out about that this year.
This is more instinct than it is like, okay, this player is really good on this surface. And by the way, because grass is the quickest of the surfaces, it negates the advantage that an Iga and Coco have on clay, where they can literally get to anything.
So is that 16-1 next to Vondrousova warranted at all? I mean, recent form is...
Oh, it's absolutely. It's as good of a play as any. That's my point. It's like, it could be Vondrousova at 16-1. It could be Maddie Keys, who got a pretty... You know, when you go to the ladies' quarters here, and we don't have quarters prices, or at least I haven't seen quarter prices on the ladies yet, but, you know... I have a few names listed at each quarter on the men's side. I have like half the draw when I'm going quarter by quarter here. So Maddie Keys at 18-1. She's in Q1 with Sabalenka. Sabalenka's quarter is this. I'll just give you an idea in Q1. Sabalenka, Raducanu, Vondrousova, Kessler, Mertens, Svitolina, Vekic, who was a finalist last year.
Wow.
Finalist or semifinalist, I can't remember. Leila Fernandez, who has great grass court numbers, and Maddie Keys. What did I just name? I just named eight or nine players. Any one of those girls could win this quarter.
Who was the top one on that quarter?
Sabalenka.
Sabalenka, yeah, wow. That's brutal.
Quarter four, by the way, Swiatek, Rybakina, Gauff. God. With Rybakina and Iga, if they meet in the round of 16, brutality. Brutality. We'll come back. Are we sure? And some UFC. Of course, a drawing in between for free entries in Circa, Survivor, and Millions. It's a numbers game. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL betting guide is your first real edge, coming out this Tuesday, July 1st, 4 days away. It's packed with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, season win total breakdowns, best bets from trusted VSiN experts, player props, betting projections, everything you need to bet smarter all season long. Kick off your season with confidence. Get full access to every VSiN betting guide, daily best bet emails, and exclusive content through the Super Bowl, all for just $175 United States dollars. Your smartest NFL season bet starts now at VSiN.com/subscribe. I didn't even look at tweets yet.
I'm going to need till Fezzik Friday to recover from this, the Grigor Dimitrov news that I heard last segment. I already thought Grigor was cool, and now, like, my mind has just got, was blown.
Did I not even mention Fezzik? Fezzik's on the show, of course.
Yeah.
I think I failed to mention Fezzik. Fezzik's on for three segments next hour.
With maybe my favorite topic he's ever texted us that he wants to discuss before.
He wants to talk about, he has a shaving tip. By the way, I don't think his shaving tip, I caught wind of what his shaving tip
that
is.
That it's like not all that secretive?
I don't think it's that spectacular. I think every human being knows the shaving tip.
So too.
And Fezzik is like, I've got a great idea. We'll get to that and more. And everything on his mind in sports betting. And he has a lot on his mind sports betting wise. NFL teasers he wants to touch on. He's on a baseball heater. He wants to get into that.
He
He's got plays in baseball.
He's going to single-handedly pull me back into betting CFL. I know that.
Does he have any CFL picks?
He's had a couple, yeah.
On today's show, though.
I don't know about today's show.
Yeah, so he's got a lot on his mind. We'll get to Steve Fezzik coming up. Let's talk soccer in the meantime and maybe get some football thoughts, domestic football, that is, from our buddy Paul Carr, who joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line from the heartland, Topeka, Kansas. What up, Paul? How are you, man?
Hello. I've traveled west a little bit. I'm in Denver. Did a U.S. women's soccer game last night, so got a little more altitude, a little thinner air, but we're cooking.
What about the elevation in addition to the altitude, Paul? Is it elevation or is it altitude? Just curious.
Same thing, right? There's probably some technical difference.
Oh, boy. Oh, don't do it, Paul. Don't do it. We can't go down this discourse again. Oh, man.
Never mind.
You don't want to do this.
Forget I said anything.
It was the greatest argument in the history of primetime action.
Yeah, that's right. Paul, by the way, working at True Media Networks. That's why he's he peddles analytics around to I shouldn't say use the word peddles. He's always promoting analytics and trying to get different sports leagues and sports teams into analytics. They have services on that. He's also the host of the Expected Value podcast and worked for many years at ESPN. What capacity now are you where you are in?
Yeah, so for these U.S. games with TNT, and I do the guy in the booth next to the announcer and write notes on cards. Things happen. Hey, it's the first time, you know, she scored two goals in a game since whenever, et cetera, et cetera. So keep the show going.
Do you care to share with us who the kindest and the least kind announcers are that you've ever worked with? Care to share with
I mean,
you?
I will tell you. So JP Della Camera has been doing soccer since, like, literally the 80s, and he did the game last night. He's one of the best play-by-play guys to work with. He did some hockey back in the day, but soccer is really where he's made his bones, and he's as good to work with as anybody.
As good to work with anybody. That's always good to hear. Before we get into Club World Cup and Gold Cup and all of that, you are a Miami Dolphins fan. Well, you're a couple of things. You're a Kansas City Royals fan. You're a Miami Dolphins fan. I'm interested in, because we have Jordan Sherwood coming up, who's doing UFC. I'm going to ask him. He's a Chicago Bears fan. I'm curious where he thinks the Bears end up in the NFC North. What is your take on if the Bills are first, which I'm going to guess you believe as well, where do the Dolphins fall this year?
I would like to think that they're second. I know the Patriots are going to get a lot of hype because they were, you know, not terrible last year, and they think they'll be better. I mean, the Dolphins, it's almost as simple as, like, is Tua going to be healthy? Is the offensive line going to hold together? You know, they've made some potential upgrades, both through the draft and free agency, to try and make that better. If that's better and Tua, if you told me Tua plays 16 games, then I feel really good about the Dolphins being the second best team in the division. But I feel like that's a coin flip at best.
Yeah. I have the Dolphins. I'm not going to give away what one of my bets was in the NFL betting guide coming out in 4 days, but it involves the Dolphins. And my last line was, don't let me down, Tua.
I know there's someone in that guide that has them making the playoffs.
Oh.
Someone.
Yeah.
Someone.
That'll be a fringy playoff.
Does he look
team?
Like you?
He looks exactly like me. I'm with Paul. I've been sitting here all offseason. I think Paul just laid it out perfectly, but I've been sitting here all offseason where all of a sudden we went from a year ago thinking this Dolphins team could have this super huge upside to, oh no, they're complete crap, which I don't really understand, and the Patriots are amazing all of a sudden. I'm not on board with that.
Amazing all of a sudden. That's so true.
I'm not on board with all that yet.
Anecdotally, it's one of the biggest hype trains this offseason. We shall see. Okay, let's go to the FIFA Club World Cup. True story, Kelly and I walked out of here one day. This is a true story. You'll verify this.
Oh, God, I thought I was going to make so much money off
Kelly. I say to Kelly, Kelly Bidlin, see that game right up there? Because there's always, this feels like it's random times for these Club World Cup games. And they always put up a three-letter...
Tricode, that's what we call it.
Abbreviation of some kind for each of these clubs. And I said to Kelly, I go, Kelly, $1,000 if you can name both of these clubs just based on those two. Based on those two things. And Kelly thought I was going to stop at the one, and he just felt $1,000 coming his way, but he could not name number two.
Paul, at first he said if you could name one of these clubs, and then right away he corrected himself, both of these clubs, and it was Man City. It was Man City was one of them, and then I had no idea who they were playing.
If you name both of these clubs, and I'll spot you Man City.
You didn't get Al Ain.
Yeah, I mean, someone like that, yeah.
How are you doing in this, by the way?
I'm being very cautious. I'm not going crazy on this, especially just we talked about it earlier. It's the nature of a tournament, and B, these clubs being at so many different stages of their seasons, dealing with the heat and all these things. So I think I haven't totaled it up, but I'm probably either up a little or down a little. I haven't made a whole lot of plays on this one yet.
Okay, but your South America call, South America team to win, is still looking pretty good.
We got a shot. We have three Brazilian teams all in one half of the bracket. We're in the round of 16 now. And two of them play each other, which is, you know, for better and worse. So, yes, there's a decent shot of one getting through. The other one, there's a couple others, or no, one other in the other half of the bracket. But they're playing Bayern and then PSG potentially, and then Real Madrid potentially. So that'd be a tough shot. But, yeah, for a, 8-1, 9-1 shot before the tournament, I still feel pretty good about it.
Okay, and you do have a bet here in the FIFA Club World Cup.
Yeah, I'm taking one of these Brazilian teams. I'm taking Flamengo to advance. Again, we're at the knockout stage of the tournaments. This is just to go through. Plus 235 against Bayern. Bayern's obviously a heavy favorite, one of the better European teams, etc. they won their first game 10-0 against Auckland City, but Auckland City is like literally everybody there still has regular jobs type of club. So and Byron wasn't very impressive in the other two games, and Flamengo was. They came from behind to beat Chelsea. I think this is a pretty good price. And it also gets to what I think is one of the big picture stories of the tournament so far, which is just the heat. You know, it's been, I mean, really hot even for North America so far. And these European teams in particular have been struggling. I mean, Bayern, Dortmund, a couple other teams, I think, like their bench guys are usually, you know, on the bench watching the game, went back inside to watch the game at times. And this was when it was like 87 in some of these places. So I think the South American teams will continue to handle the heat better, which is something to watch not only in this tournament, but also in the World Cup next year.
Okay. Let's go to the Gold Cup when Mexico plays Saudi Arabia. Throw out the records. Heated rivalry. You have a total play
in this. I do. Mexico's never lost to Saudi Arabia, as you know. But neither one of these teams was very good offensively in the group stage. Mexico got 5 goals, but 4 of them came from set pieces. And they're not clicking. They're still trying to figure things out under a newer manager about how to run their attack. They've tried a few different options so far. None of them have really worked very well. And Saudi Arabia seems to have no interest in scoring, especially against the U.S., the best team they played in the group stage. They were content to try to scratch out a 0-0 draw. Didn't quite work, and they lost 1-0. So I think this game will look a lot like that U.S. game, where Saudi Arabia is just going to lock things down. If you told them they could get to penalties, they'd be ecstatic right off the bat. So I have under 2.5 in this game at -130. And again, remember, this is a 90-minute regulation bet. So it goes to extra time and goes over. You're still winning. Under 2.5, -130.
Okay. And you have a play on a side to win the Gold Cup at 8-1 odds. And the reason that this is fascinating to us is because we had Dallin Cuff on from ESPN yesterday, and he landed. Well, he gave out 2 sides, and one of them was this very one. And it is?
It's Panama at 8-1. And I mean, if I were to boil it down super simply, Panama is the best team in the group stage, and they're the 4th favorite at 8-1, which, I mean, it kind of makes sense because they're likely to run into Mexico in the semifinals, and then they would play presumably the U.S. or Canada in the final. But they've been the best team. You know, they were in control of all 3 games, and they're kind of the always a bridesmaid, never a bride team of CONCACAF the last few years. Lost to Mexico in the Gold Cup final a couple years ago, lost to them in Nations League final this year. So they've made, I think, 4 semis in the last 3-4 years, but haven't gotten over that hump. And even though they don't have their best player and a couple others, they've looked as good and better than everybody else. So 8-1, I think, is a pretty good price on the best team so far in the tournament.
Kelly, is Wayne Brady going to have to bet himself some Panama?
I like it.
Yeah. Might have a Gold Cup play come Panama, 8-1, with a very simple handicap. They've been the best team in the group stage. I like a handicap like that. Paul, appreciate it very much. We'll talk between now and football season, but I'm sending the Dolphins good vibes, sir. I hope it works out.
Just send them a big bubble to keep 2 in.
first and foremost, both serious and both a serious comment as well on Tua. Thank you, Paul. Yep. Appreciate it, man. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Paul Carr, everybody. At Paul Carr, PaulCarr. The big giveaway for a free Circa Millions and Survivor entry next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody, disappearing before our eyes. Losing weight as we speak. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Mark Goldberg. Oh, Mark was a Survivor chopper a couple years back. A bit late to the party, but 30-plus entries expected in Grandissimo. Circus Survivor, maybe a lot more, he says. Crack and I were talking about this yesterday where we came to the conclusion 30 might be too low. He says, biggest hurdle, getting everyone's funds into Circa. Lots of groups forming. The real challenge is coordinating payments to the entry purchaser. Wife says hi to Bill Krakenberger. See you both next week in Vegas. That's a lot there. Okay. By the way, hi to your wife as well. Uncle Bush, DraftKings has women's quarters posted. Check out Q4. G Willikers, he says. I don't think we've ever had a G Willikers.
G Willikers, yeah. There
you go. Super Jerk has chimed in. All due respect to the great Brent Musburger, the Godfather show to speak. I am not driving around wondering how am I going to write down all these great picks I am missing. Sorry. Okay.
Just a classic super jerk tweet. Yeah.
Quote classic. Vintage super jerk. Las Vegas 514, yo.
Super jerk for about 4 years running also has not been able to figure out how to tag me and Gil on the same
it's
tweet.
Separate. It's
so he tweets both of us.
Las Vegas 514, yo. I just took a look at it in my Bill Krakenberger voice. She's a smoke show. Sheesh. Oh, talking about Dimitrov's current girlfriend, Asa Gonzalez. Pat Monteforte, for the tennis pod, can you add the girlfriends as part of the handicaps? Yeah, I should do that. This is Yannick.
Well, if we're missing out on things like that, then we should, yeah.
This is Yannick Sinner, currently with Anna Kolinskaya. Here's Carlos Alcaraz, who many rumored to be trying to talk to Emma Raducanu, that kind of thing. Fuge, July wins market up at Caesars. Do you like any asks St. Louis or Cincinnati? Let me tell you this. We'll update the June wins coming up. I did take a glance at July. This will be our 10th month doing this. To me, it's the most random month of them all.
Oh, that's no fun.
Yeah. By the way, our Tigers are eliminated. Astros are 8-0 in one-run games.
It's incredible.
Right, we'll read more tweets coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time. Courtesy of Winners Circle Proxy and VSiN. You can crank it up just a little bit more there, Sean. I need to feel the drama.
I thought I was going to slide that hat under the desk all crafty. Not really.
We've never done this before, but courtesy of Winners Circle Proxy service, top Las Vegas football contest proxy service, and VSiN. We had a drawing, or we had a period of time where you could enter for a free Circa Millions entry and a free Circa Survivor entry. We randomized the thousands of entries we got, and we did get thousands, and we have dropped it to 10. We have
dropped
it
to
10.
Yep.
Those 10 names are in this lovely VSiN top hat. You see those? See those little? We spared no expense.
Reveal how the process will work.
Uh-huh. That is paper, ladies and gentlemen. We spared no expense on this. And so we decided we're going to start with Millions first, and then we're going to go to Survivor. Kelly Bidlin, you have the honors to do. Do we have a drum roll on this? Hold on.
We do have a drum roll. Yep.
We have a drum roll here.
We also have a new AP today, Andrew, who I asked, did he think arts and crafts would be a part of his first day on the job?
That's right. Could we do a little more with that drum roll? Maybe one more time. And Circa Millions.
And your Circa Millions winner is, of course, I got a tough name, Anthony Sweeney.
Anthony Sweeney, we believe, or Sweeney. We don't know.
Yeah.
Congratulations, free entry to Circa Millions 8, the 8th year of Circa Millions. Wow. 6th year of Survivor, 8th year of Millions. Congratulations, Anthony. We will be in contact for your free Circa Millions entry. And now, perhaps even more exciting, courtesy again of Winner's Circle Proxy, it is your free Circa Millions entry.
Sorry, Gil.
I'm scraping around. That's right. That's the microphone's over here. Can we get a drum roll again, please? Thank you very much. One more time. Drum roll. And the winner of the free Circa Survivor entry is Jess Crassweller. Jess Crassweller.
Hey,
congratulations.
Jess.
All right. Jess, well done. Free Circa Survivor entry courtesy of Winner's Circle Proxy. Top Las Vegas football contest proxy. And do not forget also, if you need a proxy, you can join the world's biggest football contest with one trip to Vegas anytime before the season starts. Trusted by thousands of players over the last 9 seasons, Winner's Circle Proxy Service helped clients win over $9.3 million last 2 seasons. Learn more about using a trusted proxy service. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. How about that? Congratulations to the both of those folks.
Tony
Sune. Kelly's still working on the pronunciation of the Millions winner. Maybe we'll get it by the end of the show.
Big Tony, I got you.
Of course, I got luckier. Jess Crassweller. Way to go. That, by the way, I know some people are like, hey, do you have a grandissimo free entry? No, easy.
Yeah, well.
Easy.
Well,
yeah, that's
pump the brakes.
Everybody slow down on that. All right.
We did get a good question, I guess, about this on Twitter, about the number of entries. I don't know. I'm going to leave that up to the proxy service to figure out.
We have to cross-check a little
bit. Yeah. It was a good question.
It was a great question.
Like, if you already had 10 entries, what happens if
that's right.
Is
if we find out one of the winners already had 10 entries, then I don't know. We'll,
I guess it probably just means we're paying for one of them. Because you're not going to be allowed to have more than 10.
There you go.
Right? Yeah, probably what it means.
There you go. Kelly's ruled on it. It's official.
That's what's gonna happen. I'm sure my ruling should be okay with Circa Gaming Winners Proxy
Service. The $1,000 that you could have won on naming those two soccer teams, now you'll be using paper.
There we go. Yeah.
All right. Yesterday we began with Are We Sure? Estamos Seguros. We of course never finish it in the first try, so we have more. Are We Sure?
You think you know what's going on in the sports betting world?
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Gil and Kelly tackle the hard-hitting questions on another exciting edition of Are We Sure?
Let's do this.
All right. Still just waiting for Bill to like text me being like, you screwed up the names. That's the wrong time.
You guys had one job.
One job. All right, Gil, are we sure? Iga Świątek, the great Iga, should be double digits, 10-1 to win Wimbledon.
Well, look, I just mentioned it before. She has Elena Rybakina and Coco Gauff in her quarter. Besides Elena Rybakina and Coco Gauff arguably have the best grass numbers over the last couple years. Iga Świątek has never won a grass tournament, except this just in. She's in a grass final tomorrow in Bad Homburg, the two greatest words in sports. Świątek, try grass tech. Shout out to J-Rod for coming up with that. So, yeah, she should be 10-1 because she'd have to play Rybakina in the round of 16. She would have to play Coco in the quarters. But listen, if you're going to win this tournament, you're going to have to play folks eventually too. It's just that would be early for her. I just think to answer your question, yes, she should be that ish maybe 8-1, 9-1. I don't know about 10-1. I think she represents a bit of value, dare I say.
There we go. The number was going to get long enough that it was going to pull Gil in at some point.
Let me just say this: if she wins this tournament, y'all can go, you know what. And I'm talking to you, Felica, Ben Wilson, and all you people.
Are we sure Ace Bailey is going to report to the Utah Jazz?
I am not.
Have you caught this story?
What's the latest?
Developed more?
Oh,
well,
no.
One of their first-round draft picks, Walter Clayton Jr., got on a flight and went out to Salt Lake City.
He did not. Yeah.
We have not heard from Ace Bailey. Now, he has till Monday to report. I should point that out. But the reports I heard this morning is that there has been very little contact between player and team.
Listen, I believe I called this yesterday when I compared it to Stevie Francis when he was drafted by the Vancouver Grizzlies.
And real quick, there was the report that came out yesterday that there was one of the top five teams that Bailey's camp did tell them that if you draft me, I am not reporting. We don't know who that is, but one of the top five teams was told that.
Ace Bailey, whose real name is Arius, A-I-R, Arius Ace Bailey. This has Stevie Francis vibes. By the way, the Stevie Francis story was interesting because at one point Stevie Francis decided, okay, maybe for a second he's like, maybe I should report to Vancouver. And he got to the airport in Vancouver, I think, and some ticket agent, this was pre-9/11, some ticket agent from Vancouver made some comment and he got really angry about it, and that was the end of that. And he forced a trade to Houston. So no, getting back to Ace Bailey, we've seen this before. I don't know the kid. But it doesn't sound like it's 100%, that's for sure. We're not sure.
Man, that would be crazy. Okay, NFL. Are we sure the Lions will win the NFC North?
Really hard schedule, but as Warren Sharp points out, it's with a lot of rest advantage. So, no, I'm not 100% sure they're the rightful favorite, but Green Bay and some people think Minnesota still knock it at the dough. I'm not 100% sure, but yes, I mean, it's likely. Let's put it that way.
And even the Bears should be. I think they're going to be a little bit better, yeah, at least. I bring that up because I feel like one of the most popular bets I've heard so far this offseason is shots on the Lions to miss the playoffs.
It's the schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we sure the AFC South is the most wide-open division?
Define wide-open, meaning the winner is the most in doubt, or top to bottom it's the most wide open?
I mean, both, I guess, but winner most in doubt.
Is Houston Jacksonville the biggest question mark? I would argue Ravens Bengals is as big of a question mark, and Niners Rams, you know, some people would say Niners Rams. I wouldn't. I'll say yes by a hair.
Okay. As you're talking about now, I'm realizing I meant more 1-4.
That's what I asked. 1-4. No, I would say, I don't know. Do the Colts and Titans really have a shot at this?
The odds are tight, man.
Yeah. Yeah, plus 650 is the longest shot in that division on the Titans. So by that, yes. Coming back with some UFC with Jordan Sherwood next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter this football season? VSiN Pro can help you start strong. Our new NFL betting guide comes out Tuesday, July 1st. Early access means a better shot at spotting value in futures markets before the lines move. Now's the perfect time to join with our football special. Just $175 for full VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl. As every sport we cover every day at a special early bird price, the sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it. You'll be first in line for our NFL betting guide, your playbook for the season, packed with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, you'll get a daily best bets email from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, full access to VSiN.com's analytics, tools, and pro systems. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe now and lock in the football special for just $175. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. You know, we do the reads, and we don't really stop down and truly say sincerely how great of a betting guide this is. All the folks, Matt Humans, Adam Burke, Zach Cohen, everybody, Wes Reynolds, everybody who does such great work on all of the betting guides, no matter the sport. This one is the granddaddy of them all, pro football.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach Cohen deserves tons of credit.
Yeah, absolutely. One. Adam Burke writing from multiple different countries across Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, gosh, we've had, it's not even July yet, and every on-air person on VSiN involved made Gil do homework already.
Imagine. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Eddie Vegan Runner, did you know that the U2 song Elevation was originally going to be titled Altitude? Makes sense. Then they listen to this show. John Yu at C2C Hoops. On May 16th on your show, when the Orioles were 15-27, Fezzik gave out the Orioles under 73.5 wins. Since then, they're 19-19. Have the O's turned it around? Number today is again 73.5. Does Fez still like that under better? Is he considering buying off it? We shall ask him when he comes on here momentarily. Buddhist man can't believe that we didn't use your world famous AFC bucket hat to get the call for today's contest drawing.
Buddhist man, as I've told you, I at least once a week I see that thing in my closet and I chuckle because it was just a great gift, and I just wonder, when am I ever going to have an opportunity to wear it?
Yeah. Hoops by Hoots, Gil and Kelly much more upfront on their drawing process than the NBA draft is, but how do we know Kelly didn't freeze the paper slips that he wanted to draw? That's a good point. Good point.
Here's how you know. I would have frozen something that was a last name that was easier to pronounce.
And by the way, we are way more open with that drawing process than the NBA lottery is, that's for sure. Fred Currier, Judge Kelly with the official ruling on the giveaway contest. And J&J Watering Hole, LFG, I'm Jess and can't wait. Can you please give me a couple weeks to make the name change official through the courts? Congrats to the real winners. Good for you, J&J. Congrats to the real winners from other listeners. Let's talk some UFC 317. Jordan Sherwood joins us right now. Always a pleasure to have Jordan in. He, of course, the co-host of the Unnamed MMA podcast for ESPN Chicago. You can follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. What's happening, Jordan? Been a long time, man.
Yeah, been a long time. Everything is good. I know it's a big fight night when I get the text or the call from Kelly midweek and said, hey, can you jump on for a couple minutes, talk some fights? So, happy to talk about what's going to happen tomorrow night in the Octagon.
All right, just because I have to pay off this tease, I asked Paul Carr about his Dolphins fanhood. Real quick, you on the Bears, are they anything better than last place in the NFC North this year?
I think so. There's the Ben Johnson effect for sure. And a lot of people believe Minnesota is going to take a step back. They won't be the same team with J.J. McCarthy at the helm. So, yes, they will not be the last place team. They will not be the cellar dwellers in the NFC North this season.
There it is.
Boom.
Don't even have to watch the season. They will not be last place. Okay, you just alluded to it. So UFC 317, we walked in here. I walked in. The very first thing that Dave Ross, who's a big UFC guy, obviously, does UFC shows for us in addition to buy the books. First thing he said, he goes, great UFC card. From your vantage point, you agree with that? Really great one?
Yeah, I think so. You know, having a headliner of two title fights, a guy who's at on the marquee, Ilia Topuria, you know, he's one of the best fighters we have currently in the sport. He's vying for a two-divisional championship, going up to lightweight to take on the former champion, Charles Oliveira, because the belt is vacant. And he's expected to win. You see those odds right there displayed. I mean, he's nearly a $5 favorite against a guy in Charles Oliveira that's a future Hall of Famer. He holds the record for most UFC post-fight finishes and bonuses, and a guy that's extremely difficult to deal with, whether it be on the ground or on the feet. But I think the feet is where Topuria is going to have the advantage in that fight. In his previous, several of his previous fights, Oliveira has been dropped early in fights and then has to utilize, you know, his toughness and his black belt, his off of his back to get back into fights. I don't think he's going to have that luxury against Topuria, a guy that's, you know, he knocked out Alexander Volkanovski. He knocked out Max Holloway, who's never been stopped in his last two fights. And I do believe Ilia Topuria carries that power up to lightweight. So to get that price down, I actually like Ilia Topuria to win the fight via TKO KO. And I've seen it everywhere from $1.50 to $1.70. That's where I would invest if you're going to look to play the main event tomorrow night. I just don't think Charles Oliveira is going to have the chin to be able to survive the left or right hand of Ilia Topuria.
Yeah, so Topuria, by the way, if you were just betting the side, prohibitive favorite, minus 455. So Jordan's saying bet Topuria by knockout. Oliveira, a great grappler, but what you're saying is the ability to get to withstand the punches from Topuria and get Topuria on the ground, that's a whole nother story. Not going to happen, in your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously going up in weight, Oliveira is going to be the bigger fighter. He's going to have the reach advantage. We did see Ilia Topuria fight one time before at lightweight. He did get dropped in that fight by Jay Herbert from a head kick. And don't get me wrong, like, Charles Oliveira is an extremely talented fighter. The problem is that he eats a lot of damage and he does get dropped in a lot of fights. In fact, when he was going on that run to win the lightweight championship against guys like Justin Gaethje, Dustin Poirier, and Michael Chandler, like, he gets dropped in all those fights. I just don't think he's going to be able to do that against Ilia Topuria. Which is why I like that price point at $1.50, $1.70 to win by KO, TKO.
Okay, fight preceding that is a title fight. You have a parlay that involves Topuria and who you think is going to win this one. Alejandro Pantoja against Kai Kara France. Pantoja is a minus 238 favorite. This is a little different than the fight we just described, which is both are good on their feet, but only one good on the ground, correct?
Yeah, the one good on the ground is the defending champion, Alexander Pantoja. I think that this is his division. You alluded to it, Gil. Like, he is extremely talented on the feet. I think he's one of the best back takers and submission artists and grapplers we have, not only in the flyweight division, in the sport. I do think Kai Kara France is talented, but I think when you're handicapping this fight, it's a puncher's chance. Like, he does have knockout power. He's probably the most powerful striker in the 125-pound division. And people that are fading Pantoja and picking Kai Kara France are looking at Pantoja, who does eat a lot of punches. You know, he got pieced up a little bit in a previous fight against Steve Urseg. But I just think that is the only way that Kai Kara France is able to win this fight. And I do expect Pantoja at some point to get this fight to the ground, take the back, and submit Kai Kara France. And we've seen Kara France submitted before. And look, he's got good takedown defense. The percentages say he's at like an 83-84% takedown defense, but I think those numbers are skewed because of the opponents he's fought, not to the level of Pantoja. So a couple of things. On that parlay, I like coupling Pantoja to win the fight straight up with that knockout prop that I mentioned for Topuria. So you combine those and you get it about a +30, +135 for a two-fight parlay. But I also like a little sprinkle on Alexander Pantoja to win via submission. And that's anywhere from +230 to +260. I think at some point he can take the back and choke out Kai Kara France. He's got five rounds to do it. So those would be the two recommended plays I have for the co-main event.
Okay, let's clarify that again. So Topuria by KO straight, then Topuria KO with the Pantoja win on a moneyline parlay, and then Pantoja by submission. Also a bet from Jordan. Yeah. Fight before those two is one of the more closely lined fights. I guess the only one that's closer lined is the Dariush Moicano fight before that. But this is Brandon Royval as a slight dog here, and you like him.
I do. I like Brandon Royval just because of the experience he has. He's been in title fights. He only loses to champions or former champions. Everyone else, you know, he gets through. He's very difficult to deal with because he's a little bit of a wild man out there, but he's tremendous with his scrambles. He scraps. He's got great cardio. And Joshua Van is a talented fighter. He's going to try and set the record for most fights in a calendar year, but he's only 22. He's taking this fight on short notice, and he has never fought anybody near the top five, top seven, eight of the flyweight division. And though I do believe Josh Ovand is a future title challenger, maybe even a future champion, like a kind of similar to like a Max Holloway when he first burst onto the scene, I just don't think taking this fight on short notice, he's going to be able to deal with the scrambles, the pace, and the variety of fighting that, Brandon Royval is going to bring. So I'm surprised actually that, Josh Ovand is still hanging on as a favorite in this fight. So I'm grabbing Royval at plus money, even if he's $1.10. Come fight night, I still like him. I just think that there's levels to this, and Josh Ovand is not there yet. He will be eventually, but this is too much too soon for a fight against Brandon Royval.
All right, and we got to run, but Jack Hermanson as a prelim dog, big dog, yes?
Yeah, plus 195, so that price is going up. I think people are fading him, but he's been out because of injury. His pace, his footwork, it'll be a very boring fight.
Okay.
But I like Jack Hermanson to win against RoboCop Gregory Rodriguez on the main fight of the prelims.
Thank you, Jordan.